The next Kina is Kina Tet Zion, Kina 16. If you have the Koran, we are skipping to page 361. This is one of the most famous and most powerful of all of the Kinos. Zachor es asher asa tsar bifnim. And this is a Kina which focuses on the wicked acts of Titus, or Titus as he's known to Chazal, and Vespasian, and the first, very, very complicated liturgically, literally, first and third line of every one of the quartets begin with the first word from Sukkim of the fifth parak of Eicha. And the second word of each of those lines then begins the Aleph Beis, the second line begins the Aleph Beis. So that's the literary liturgical technique that the Bala Kina uses. The Kina is basically structured around telling three stories. From the Gemara in Gittin and the Midrashim, again about Titus and about Vespasian. The first one we speak about right at the outset is Zachor es asher asa tsar bifnim. This is the story from the Gemara in Gittin and Daf Nun Vav, all about how Titus, what he did within the Beis HaMikdash, how he defiled the Beis HaMikdash, even inside of it. He drew his sword, Shalav Charbo, Balifnai Velifnim. He took out his sword in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so to speak, pierced the paroches, as if Kaviyocho Chas HaShalom, he was, so to speak, killing God. Blood came out, V'yimadeid Kav B'mareh Adam Dam. He made a line in reddish color. And obviously, in a very, very profound way, he was debasing the Beis HaMikdash. But it was more than that. As we continue reading a few lines later, V'zeh Tsoa Zona Hichnis. He then brought in a Zona, a harlot, into the Beis HaMikdash. And in a place that was so, so holy, he has his way with this prostitute, the Zona, in none other than the Beis HaMikdash precinct itself. Shocking. A little bit later on in the Kina, a little bit more than halfway down, we have Al Petach Harabayis Hechel Lavo. This is a very, very interesting phenomenon. Biad Arbe Roshe Taf Sarav Lahachrivo, that he had originally ordered four generals of his legions to destroy the four walls that surrounded the Beis HaMikdash. But only three of them were destroyed, only three of them were conquered. As we all know, the Kotel HaMa'aravi was not destroyed then. It remained standing. And when, of course, Nebuchadnezzar got angry at him, when the Roman general got angry at him, so he said, Al Tzad Maravi Lezachar Hisridbo, Tzagachar Kotlenu Velo Rav Ribo. That explained that if all the walls were destroyed, then no one in the future would know what a great accomplishment this was. But when people see one wall left, so then they will see, wow, if that's the wall that's left, could you imagine the ones that he destroyed? So shocking arrogance. And just toying with us, so to speak, and ridiculing Hashem and ridiculing us. Of course, we believe that, as Chazal say, that the Shechina has never left the Kotel HaMa'aravi, and that there are reasons from our purposes why that happened, Baruch Hashem. But nevertheless, the fact is, from their perspective, they saw this as yet another act of rebellion and as a testimony to how they defeated not only the Jews, but defeated their God. And then the third and last part of the Kina tells maybe the most famous of the three stories and maybe the most powerful. And that is based again on the Gemara as well as the Medrash. And that is the story of the three boatloads of children. Ata katsafta ve'eresh lefanos yaladim asher ein bahem kol me'um misham lehipanos. And Chazal explain how three boatloads of Jewish children, boys and girls, were kidnapped from the land of Israel, and were sent on boats. Shilchum le'eretz utz b'shalosh svinos, and they were sent off on these ships to sail the high seas, to to be taken to be slaves in Rome. What our the Kina actually leaves out the middle part of the story, interestingly. But if you look in the Gemara as well as in the Medrash, it fills in the blanks of what was next. And the Gemara and the Medrash explain that the children became aware that the intention of the Romans was to sell them into slavery, not just to be normal slaves, but to serve in the perverse sexual pleasures of the Roman noblemen. That's the level of servitude and debasement that they would endure. And the Medrash and Gemara, in very vivid detail and heart-wrenching detail, describe how the children amongst themselves made a decision that they did not want to live if life meant being defiled in that way. And therefore, they were willing to jump to their deaths at the bottom of the sea rather than live life as slaves in such an immoral way in Rome. And picking up with it a very abbreviated way, this part of the story, the second to last stanza says, Heshivenu shivu kivo benivchayam. The children are pleading, Hashivenu, bring us back, as they are going on the oceans. And they join together, Vashitvu atm yacha limpol b'yam. They were ready to jump into the sea. And the Medrash and the Gemara explain that the children asked Hashem before they jumped in the sea, is this the right thing that we're doing? Is suicide in such a circumstance, is that allowed? Is it really right? We know our intentions are right. But just because our intentions are right doesn't mean our actions are correct. But they believed that they were, and in fact, they received a call from Hashem. Hashem quotes Psukim, the Gemara and the Medrash cite, which Hashem promises them, even from the depths of the sea, Hashem says, when the time comes for Olam Haba, for Tchias HaMesim, I will bring you back. You have not forfeited anything. It's certainly the right thing to do. And the Kina says there, Shir v'tishbachos sharu k'al yam, k'alecha horagnu. Yam. They sang songs of praise as if they were still at the Yamsuf. They were as happy as the Jewish people were when they crossed the Yamsuf. And they jumped, for Hashem's sake, into the Metzulos Yam, into the depths of the sea. And even while they were being covered by the waves of the sea as they were dying, we say in the last stanza, Kozos basnu v'lo shachachnucha chilu l'mamashan. Even now we have not forgotten you. We're with you, Hashem, and we call out to you. When the Medrash quotes the story, it tells us that God, as it were, himself, witnessing the circumstances, is overwhelmed by emotion and cannot contain himself. And Hashem himself calls out, Al Eile Ani Bochia. Of course, that's a sentence from the Navi. The Navi is speaking originally about himself. But Chazal superimposed those words of the Navi into the mouth of Hashem. As if where Hashem is saying, on such dedication for such children, even I, Al Eila Ani Bochia, I cannot be helped but be moved to tears. And I think this final story, of course, highlights for us the loss, not of just anybody, but the loss of children, which is also one of the themes of Tisha B'Av and the Kinos. The death of children, people who die in the prime of their lives, with so much more to give, so much more to enjoy and to benefit, and so often snuffed out by circumstances directly and indirectly from our most hated enemies. Unfortunately, this year, like every other, has not been free from Jewish children, unfortunately paying the ultimate sacrifice. And it seems like every year, Rachmana Litzlan, there are children who are slaughtered in the prime of their lives for no sin other than daring to live as Jews in the Holy Land. I want to take this opportunity to highlight just one of the victims from this past year, a 17-year-old girl, Rina Schnerb. She died at the end of last August, so it's almost a year, 11 or so months, since she was killed. And for those of you who don't remember, her family is from Lod, her father is a Rav there in Lod with a very big family, Kanai Nahara. And about a year ago that August, she and a teenage brother and her father were hiking not far from Dolev. And they were going towards what I think is in that area, a well-known Ma'ayan, when hiding in the bushes near where they were going down this little hill towards the Ma'ayan was an explosive device, which apparently was controlled remotely. And some Arabs were in a car, and when they saw the family walking past that, they detonated it. Her brother was injured relatively seriously, although as far as I know, he is fully recovered. Father injured slightly, fully recovered. And unfortunately, Rina took the brunt of the explosion, and she died on the spot, and as far as I think anyone knows, probably pretty much instantly. She was 17 years old, and her life was snuffed out. I want to thank my own daughter, Eliana, who helped me do a little bit of the research and read a little bit about her over the last few days. And not surprisingly, she was a wonderful, wonderful young girl who meant the world to her family, who are just devastated, devastated by her loss. At the funeral, she has an older sister who's married, who said so beautifully, I'm translating now from the Hebrew, said, "My dearest Rina, we were granted you for almost 17 years. We were granted the best of you, your sensitivity, to see how you constantly loved and strove to advance and to learn and to understand." And then she said, and this really hit me, "The hole is not just felt by my family. It is a void in the heart of the entire nation." And that really is how we have to feel, especially on Tisha B'Av. Of course, the family and those who knew her best and loved her the most, of course, they hurt the most. But anyone innocent, let alone a child, it should be a hole in all of our hearts. As her uncle said after the funeral, she wasn't just Yarei Shamayim, God-fearing, but she was so young, she was innocent, so sweet, with her whole life ahead of her. Taken away, snuffed out, for reasons which we cannot possibly fathom. And as we mourn and lament the death of these three boatloads of children, one of the most stirring stories mentioned in all of the kinos and all of the literature of the Churban, we should think about Rina Schnurb and others, unfortunately, this year and in others, young children who, now that we are still living in a life, even in Israel, but still a life without full geula, in a very broken world, without manifest kvod shamayim, and certainly without manifest kvod Am Yisrael, let alone fear of Am Yisrael. We live in a world in which we take for granted that Jewish children can be blown up in the land of Israel. And we shouldn't take that for granted. And each one should leave a little hole in all of our hearts. Zocher Sashar Sar Tzabifnim, Shalav Charbo, Balifnai Vilifnim.